coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
. 1776, it is time. The time is now. Folks, welcome to the Hagman Report. Doug Hagman at the helm here. Not a journalist, but an investigator with a microphone doing a triage of the news, all information that's important to all of us. Very quickly here, remember, I started out this week by stating that in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Make that... commit that to heart, because that is what is taking place right now, I believe. Those people are drawing lines in the sand, and others are just merely watching. But again, 1776, it's time. It is time to take our country back, take the world back. Look, we have a, and again, I caution the use of this word, but a truly satanic globalist cabal attempting to overthrow all of the West, including the United States, and especially the United States. A couple of things on my radar here that are very, very important. Of course, you know, you have the typical things like the Rittenhouse trial, not to diminish that, of course. Folks, the riots are going to break out regardless of the verdict. It's a given, so, okay. However, if justice is done, there will be a mistrial with prejudice. Jack Posobiec, of course, pointed out, withholding of exculpatory or actually the submission of doctored evidence by the prosecution, that being the video that was submitted in a very low resolution when, in fact, they had the 1900 by whatever it is, the higher resolution. And that's a no-no. I've been in trials where it was dismissed with prejudice for less. Okay, but that said, let's watch that. And another Jack Posobiec find. However, this is really, I mean, look, folks, I touched on this yesterday. This is part of the bigger game against the American population, the people with the parents. And I talked about the school boards. I talked about the Scottsdale Unified School District yesterday, how important that is, because that's not the only one. That's not the only school board. That's not the only school board president that's engaged in this type of activity. That the type of activity, of course, is using investigators employed in the private sector for creating dossiers on parents who are giving trouble, whether it be for CRT, the critical race theory teachings, or mask policies, or whatever it might be. Weaponizing, of course, the private investigative industry, which, again, that's a no-no, but it gets worse and it's bigger than that. If I'm going to start out with this video, this Jack Posobiec was on with Steve Bannon yesterday, I believe it was, and this is extremely critically important. I know that those words are always overused. It's always hyperbole, but I cannot stress the importance of this. Because what is taking place here is going to directly affect you. I don't care if you're not a parent, if you're a grandparent, it doesn't really matter. But this is something, folks, that you've got to really understand the depth and breadth of this operation. We saw the criminal justice system, the Department of Justice, that is weaponized against President Trump. We saw the intelligence communities, the Five Eyes, weaponized against President Trump. It's a tool of the globalists, but here, this is coming right to your front door, right to your kitchen table, and in fact, right into your living room. Let's play clip one. Start this at 2:45. Links will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Let's go ahead and start it at 2:45. Here it is.
The blower out of DOJ. It is sickening what is happening, what Merrick Garland's trying to do to the parents of America. All the lies have been exposed. Look, I think he should step down or be impeached, but we're going to get into it. So Jack Posobiec, Goldman, one of these DOJ types, is sitting there going, oh, this the indictment and all this shows you the restoration of the rule of law after 250 years of finally getting back to the rule of law with Trump. Let's show what kind of people they are. What do we got, Jack? You've been tweeting this out all afternoon.
Hold on.
Okay, we don't have Jack Posobiec yet. We don't have the audio. Jack, you there?
Yep, right here, Steve.
Okay, why don't you tell us what you got on DOJ?
Look, Steve, what
we're barely hear you, but why don't we try it?
This is shocking. It's absolutely horrific what we have, and I hope that people can hear this because it wouldn't surprise me if they were trying to take down this broadcast now because of the information that we have. An FBI whistleblower, a patriot, a white hat has come forward to show us documents now. Look, we were asking the question, why are they going after O'Keefe? Why are they going after Bannon? Why are they doing this? Why are they making actions like this? I think they were tipped off that this was coming. An FBI whistleblower has just dropped all of the documents, all of the receipts, showing that the FBI a few weeks ago, launched a national counterterrorism operation against American families at school boards. If you are parents who are at the school boards and you're going to protest the CRT, the stuff that's going on in Virginia, Chris Rufo and others have really, Ian Pryor, have led the charge on this, have carried the flag on this one. The FBI is now up in your grill. You don't have Fusion GPS and Chris Steele and these Hillary people making dossiers. No, the FBI is now going after you. It's a national, and I can read from the email. The Counterterrorism and Criminal Division created a threat tag known as EDU officials, to track instances of related threats. We asked your offices apply the threat tag to the investigations and assessments right here to help scope this threat on a national level and provide an opportunity for comprehensive analysis of the threat picture. We ask that you identify the following. Is there a federal nexus? Are there potential federal violations that can be investigated and charged? What's the motivation behind the criminal activity? They've already prejudged you. They're saying they don't even know if you're violating any federal laws. They don't care. They're coming for you. They're using the national power of the FBI to go after you. This has been empowered by Attorney General Merrick Garland. We've got the receipts. The House has the receipts. Chris Rufo is out there. These documents, and this is just the start of the documents, because the whistleblower is working with the House committee now, is working with the representatives. And I certainly hope that MSNBC and Joy Reid and everyone else and Jake Tapper give the same deference to this FBI whistleblower that was given to, and I'm going to say it right, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. Remember, you have to include the title, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, as a protected whistleblower of these United States. This is a shocking act. It is a desperate act. It is an act of a failing, decrepit regime lashing out at dissidents, lashing out at the deplorables, the people who just want to protect their children. You guess what? Under Biden's regime, you have now been labeled a terrorist.
All right, so remember, we went over this before, but now it's different. It's different because we, as Steve Bannon says, we have the receipts. An internal whistleblower came out, and let's show the actual document, the actual copy of this email. This is image one, Eric the Tech. And hello, Eric the Tech. It's good to see you today.
Hello.
Yeah. Again, the mysterious Eric the Tech with his assassin dog. Theo. Okay. Folks, please direct your attention to this screen. This is extremely important here. This is an email within the FBI and Department of Justice. Now, this is, of course, from the CID unit, the Criminal Investigative Division unit of the FBI. Now, this is a joint message from Criminal Investigative Division and Counterterrorism Division to field agents and field operatives in the FBI, the field agencies. All right. If you scroll down a little bit, let's see here. All right. I want to just point out a couple of things on this. Okay. Having been for a while, at least as a back in the 90s, as an operational asset and an asset for the Department of Justice and the FBI. All right, looking at this, this is the only thing I could say is this is an extreme abuse of power. Of course, the message reads, on October 4th, 2021, the Attorney General forwarded a memorandum addressing a spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff. All right. Now, the predicate, of course, would be, or the alleged predicate would be, of course, the how many people are, you know, speaking out against the illegal mandates and such. And, of course, the first paragraph gets into the distribution and into the involvement at the local levels. And for actually first and second paragraph. But where Jack was focused upon and where the focus should be, and this is page one of two, the last part of this, the purpose of the threat tag is to scope, and by the way, the threat tag is EDU officials, all right? That's the threat tag. And to create a threat tag now in the FBI means that there is an evolving, and that's an important word, an evolving investigation and plan of action moving forward against parents, against people. And this is not related to those threatening, openly threatening or overtly threatening, because that does not happen usually. Oh, it does, but not in this way. And in fact, I've got to send Eric the tech, I've got to send you a 30-second video showing a threat at a school board, but it's not what you think, all right? But the request here is that the FBI, that the Department of Justice, specifically Merrick Garland, and you've got to go back and look at Garland through the lens of Barack Hussein Obama, the fundamental transformation of this country, that you apply the threat tag to investigations and assessments of threats specifically directed against school board administrators, board members, teachers, and staff, period. What kind of threats? Open-ended. Any kind of threats. Well, define a threat. No, we're not going to define the threat. We're not going to specifically say, look, it's got to be an overt threat against one's safety, against one's life, against one's family. No. Any kind of threat. Perceived threat? Absolutely. Is there wiggle room here to extend this into something much like the false Russian dossier? Absolutely. But I digress. So is there a federal nexus? Again, when evaluating potential threats, we ask that you attempt to identify the following. Is there a federal nexus? Let me tell you something. You can, much like just driving down the street in your car gives police probable cause to stop you, much like that, and believe me, if you don't understand that, just do a search on that. There will always be a federal nexus. B, are there potential federal violations that can be investigated and charged? Well, if not, there will be. And C, what's the motivation behind the criminal activity? Now, this is interesting as it goes to motive, and the motive is what? Freedom. Freedom from illegal mandates in general. Freedom from having your child polluted with misinformation. All right, there's a second page to this. It's pretty much salutary in nature, but let's put it up anyway for the purpose of this segment here. It's signed by, of course, and here it is right here as soon as we get it up. It's signed by, let me see. Okay, so we appreciate your attention to this matter and so on. But there's a request here as well. In my notations as I'm looking at this, I am getting up to speed with 21st century technology. Actually, I have notes on my computer here. So we welcome any engagement to identify trends, strategies, and best practices to accomplish discouraging, identifying, and prosecuting those who use violence, threats of violence. And here's the key phrase. This is the all-encompassing phrase. And other forms of intimidation and harassment pertaining to this threat. What threat? Anything. In other words, they're opening the door. This is such a wide-ranging initiative by the Department of Justice and by Merrick Garland. Again, look at this through the eyes of Barack Hussein Obama, his policies, his people, and you'll understand how severe this is, okay? All right. It doesn't stop there. As a matter of fact, Eric the Tech, I'm going to let me punch this over to you. Let me see here. Okay, folks, forgive me for stumbling here. I wasn't going to do this. I believe it was in, let me see here. I think it might have been in Monday's show notes or Tuesday's show notes. It's actually in Tuesday's show notes. Eric the Tech, if you can open those up. All right. This is clip one on Tuesday's show notes. I apologize for the delay. I wasn't really planning on showing this, but let me tell you what's not going to be investigated. But let me tell you what is happening at the grassroots level, because the fight is always local, that's where the money is being poured into, the fight at the local level. This is Fort Worth ISD School Board meeting from November 9th, less than 10 days ago. And this is during the open commentary section. Now, this did not get a lot of play. It didn't get a lot of play. But you need to watch this commentary. By the way, the commenters are limited to 1 minute. This guy takes his minute. But there are two different views of this. First, the one from the school board, and the second from an audience member. Both equally chilling. Perhaps the second one is even more chilling. Go ahead and start that at the prompt there at 3412.
Malik Austin, followed by Carrie Reimeyer.
Madam President, what is the time for today?
1 minute.
1 minute.
Thank you for asking.
Okay. I want to give my condolences. Could you hold the clock, sir, please? Because I asked the question. Could you start my time over, Mr. Clockman, whoever doing it? Well, I want to give my condolences to Sister Brickens before I speak. For those who got an issue with this critical race theory equity, it's something I fought for my children. How dare you come out from here and talk about the things that my daddy and my grandparents went through, the lynching, the oppression, Jim Crow, and my kids are still being afflicted by this. How dare you come out from here and challenge me on critical race theory? Look at the word racism. This is something deliberately done to people of African descent to shackle us down. This hate, fear, money ain't won't work no more. It's over with. We are not our ancestors. I got over 1,000 soldiers ready to go.
We're not the board.
Yeah, 1,000 go.
Look who he is directing his comments.
Thank you. There you go.
Okay.
One and done.
Okay, so
one and done.
You can prep the second clip number two. This is from Carlos. I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name, but the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. This is from the audience. This is a tweet, but here's my message to you. Do you think this is random? Do you think that this was merely a random person airing his grievances at this school board meeting? If you do, I've got some stuff to sell you here, okay? It's not. It's a coordinated assault, because watch this and pay very close attention to what is said. Go ahead. Oh, okay. We're going to wait for a second. But listen very carefully to what he says, especially at the end. Here it is.
I've got over 1,000 soldiers ready to go.
At the beginning. Can you restart that?
I don't care.
Yeah, where the okay, here it is.
I've got over 1,000 soldiers ready to go.
I've got over 1,000 soldiers ready to go.
I don't care.
Yeah, where the police?
My First Amendment rights. My First Amendment rights are here.
The police is in front of you.
Not me. If you want to talk to me, I'd be happy to talk to you.
But you will not challenge us.
Time.
You're not challenging us.
Time.
Address the board.
Yeah, I'm bringing my soldiers with me next time. Ah.
Okay. Anyone see a threat there? First of all, yeah, he's going to the parting shot. I'm going to bring my sons next time. What was that about? And also, I've got 1,000 soldiers ready to go. I know the connections there. And look, I have no interest in being sued at the moment. And I know that truth is a defense for being sued. But the process is the punishment. But I can tell you this. This is going on, or will be going on, all across the country at larger school districts. But it doesn't end at school districts. It also goes into city council, county council meetings and such. But because right now the enemy, our enemies, the enemies of freedom, know exactly where the fight exists. Again, it is time now for 1776. All right. Pay very close attention to this. Do not get off. I'm just suggesting. Although I got pretty far in the weeds on this one, because it's important to understand what's going on. I dug very deep. Don't get distracted by things that really are not important in the larger sense. All right, moving along here. Sundance did it again. Conservative Treehouse. I got to tell you, his one or two sentence summary says it all. You know the thing right now about the satanic jabs, and yes, I'm using that word again deliberately. The COVID passport now this is from Sundance. The COVID conservativetreehouse.com, by the way. Link in the program description box, as usual. The COVID passport, now currently deployed in Europe and Australia, becomes the vector for entry into a digital identification process. In fact, you can put that link on the screen, which is the page under clip one on the show notes, if you want to. That way people don't have to sit here and look at me, look at the screen, at the screen off screen. Okay, this would be a page. The UK Prime Minister announces new definition. This would be for today's show notes, the third one down. There it is right there. You're good, man. So under this, UK Prime Minister announces new definition for vaccinated will require triple jabs and boosters. There is the golden big picture item. The COVID passport, now currently deployed in Europe and Australia, becomes the vector for entry into a digital identification process. At the end of that digital ID process is a centralized database, which, not coincidentally, directly aligns with the capability of the federal government to trigger what the Build Back Better leaders have described as a centralized system to control all financial deposits, transactions, and human activity through the digital ID now created. And that paragraph right there says it all. And go ahead and scroll down and see that picture. That's coming to America. And scroll down a couple or a little more too. There's two more pictures. Of course, already in use, the COVID passport, especially in the UK and Australia, but also in New York City, Los Angeles, but coming here widespread, if we allow it. And one more down. This is part of this Build Back Better system. This is the Great Reset overtly Great Reset. This is what this is all about. The article also states that the UK Prime Minister announces has the UK Prime Minister talking about hey, you're going to need 3+ jabs to be considered fully vaccinated. All right. Well, you might ask yourself, all right, how in the world are they going to monitor this? What's that?
And then four.
And then four. And then 10. Then five. How many slots on that card, the CDC card? Quite a few, right? Empty, This is Fauci yesterday.
So if we
get
vaccinated,
yes,
we're going to have to get 3 shots up front? Or
you can't do that, because that would just put your, you got to spread it over. So you're not going to be fully vaccinated until they tell you you're going to be, until they tell you. No, see.
So if you're behind 20 shots.
Oh, yeah. You got a ways to go, brother. You know, it's again, this is why I say 1776 right now. So how are they going to accomplish this? I touched on this yesterday, but I got a call today. I'm not going to tell you who, but it's from a medical doctor. And he said, Karen Kingston pointed this out on a broadcast with Brandon House. Brandon, a good friend of the program. And I believe it was Brandon House. And also of note, Greg Hunter had an interview with Cliff High. You might want to check out. I don't have that here. I did send that out to a couple of people. It was like an hour and a half. It was just a tremendous interview. But this is how they're going to keep track of all of us. Can you put up the page it's above the big picture. ICD-10, page ICD-10. Can you put that up? Okay. This is how they are going to do this. If you go to the ICD-10 data site, which is ICD10data.com, all right, it gives you a whole listing of ICD codes. What are ICD codes? You go in to get treated for something at the doctor, they bill your insurance or they internal records, they assign an ICD code to that, whatever your malady might be. I've seen it on my medical records and I've seen it on my family's. There's always an ICD-10 code. Well, guess what? As I stated yesterday, now they have an ICD-10 diagnosis code for people who have not gotten the shot, the vaccine, as they call it. They also have subsets. Why didn't they get it? What did they decline? Well, the bottom line is vaccine refused by patient. But here is what is not known. Who owns that list? Eric the Tech, you want to take a guess? You're never going to guess this. I don't want to put you on the spot. I'll tell you what, I won't. Unless you want to take a wild swag at this. Who owns this list?
No clue.
Yeah. AARP. Don't ask me why.
I didn't know.
And that's why I was surprised when I drilled down to find this out. And thanks to a medical doctor in Patriot, who I speak with frequently. So you have to ask yourself, well, gee whiz, what did the AARP help push through? Oh, yeah, Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Nothing to see here. Again, Build Back Better, fundamentally transforming the United States, of course, getting ready for the Great Reset. So that is the method. Now, the feds, see, that list, all across all insurance platforms, that list is maintained and offered to and maintained by the federal government, which is why recently in Houston, you had Department of Health from Houston go to various apartment buildings. I've got video of this, too, and I won't put up. Knocking on doors and saying, "Hey, we understand you're not vaccinated, as they say. What's up? What's up? What's going on?" In the words of Marvin Gaye. That's right. What's going on? All right. But here's the good news. If we can,
I think it's let's get it on.
No, man. See, we had this. If you would read the comments in Rumble. It's what's going on. Come on. You guys know that, right? What's going on? Marvin Gaye. You know. All right. So, and this is one thing I want to ask. Sorry. No, I'm not making, No. Now, this is one thing I want to ask Richard Proctor about when he comes on, but this is, before I get to that, I want to just toss in clips 2 and 3. What is happening on the ground right now? Because the globalists are losing control of the narrative. And again, this fits into the bigger picture. Here is something that happened in Philadelphia. This is clips 2 and 3 on today's show prep notes. This is what's happening in hospitals across the country. Now, I can make this personal, all right? I'm seeing this not with my situation, but with my wife's situation, where there seems to be a disconnect here in the providing health care. Again, I don't want to get involved in the personal aspect of this, but this is how they wear you down and attempt to control you. And this is what we have to fight against. This is extremely disturbing. This was reported on Citizens Free Press, I believe it was. But here is a scene from a Philadelphia hospital this past, it was within the last couple of weeks, last week and a half, I believe. Go ahead and run clip two. Clip one. On that page.
Yeah. I'm getting assaulted. I'm getting kicked out of the hospital. I'm getting kicked out by right here. What's your name? What's your name?
You have to leave, sir.
I won't be leaving.
I should have set this up better. This is a man whose wife is lying in that bed just across the way there. She's in labor, going to have a child. Okay. This is in the hospital room in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in a hospital in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where his wife is in labor and he is being asked to leave because he refused to take a COVID PCR test, extremely unreliable. And he also refused a vitamin K and hepatitis B shot for the baby upon delivery. What in the hell? Okay, there's the setup. Go ahead and continue with that.
Or I won't be leaving at all.
You will be leaving. Poor Charlie Bay is going to be going in ejection from room 3 and they ring delivery. You have to leave, sir.
I'm going to stay here with my wife and my kid.
All right, I'm asking you to leave.
No.
Okay.
I'm staying here with my wife and my kid. I will not go anywhere. I'm staying here with my wife and my kid. I'm not going anywhere. You guys are on video. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying with my wife and my kid. Do not touch me. You have no right. Do not touch me. You have no right. I am staying with my wife and my kid. Do not touch me. Do not touch me. I am with my wife and my kid. Do not touch me. This is wrong. You guys are so mean. COVID, look what's going on. You keep on trying to kill me.
Okay, you can cut this off right now for in the interest of time. And then there's a second clip that continues in that fashion. People were upset. He does get escorted from the hospital room, and it wasn't pretty. And it's not pretty. It's disturbing at its core. And this was happened at Einstein Hospital in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This man said he was a Christian. He objected when he injections for his unborn child at that time. Then they, because of that, there were some issues where they tried to force a COVID test on the couple. Of course, when it was refused, this is exactly what happened. All right. And this is why I opened the program with 1776. It's time. We need to fight back. We must fight back at every level with every fiber of our being, because the great hoax is being exposed. The number of deaths, you're not, watch the interview with Greg Hunter and Cliff High. At one point, Cliff High says, look, at some point you're going to see massive die-offs, including some very, very high-profile die-offs, and I'm paraphrasing now, with respect to some sports figures because that have received the jabs. And hey, wouldn't it be something if you're watching the Super Bowl and the player, you know, drops dead right there on the field? That kind of stuff, or whatever big games there might be. Okay, were you talking to me? Am I hearing voices? Stop the hammering. Okay. So, all right. So that's what, this is why we have to come out with 1776. This is why we have to take that posture. Again, a couple of things that are not really fully explored in depth on the news. Now, one thing I'm going to ask my Wednesday guest and shotgun rider here, Rodney Shotgun, is Dr. Richard Proctor of theprovisinstitute.com. One thing I want to ask him about is this, because this does kind of factor into everything we've been talking about. And especially this is what has the left so really screwed up. And then he can discuss wherever he wants, take it wherever he wants to go. But Joe Biden, Mr. Marbles, he got some terrible news after a court after a court has chosen to adjudicate his vaccine mandate. Now, this appeared on Red State. It was published earlier today. And essentially what this is Joe Biden's OSHA-enforced vaccine mandate currently hangs in the balance. Last week, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals refused to lift a stay on the emergency regulation, citing grave constitutional concerns and gamesmanship by this regime. My word, not his. Yet, there was still some hope inside the White House that the case would end up before a more favorable court to be fully adjudicated. So what they did was they put this on essentially on a roulette wheel, as they do with cases, and let's assign this to a different circuit court. They spun the wheel, and guess what? Well, the case landed before the Sixth Circuit Court, and if you thought the Fifth Circuit in any way, shape, or form was constitutionally conservative, the Sixth Circuit makes the Fifth Circuit look like kindergarten. So they're saying, oh, no. Oh, no. This is not going to go well, we can tell. As it appears right now, the Sixth Circuit, they're probably going to strike this down, this mandate of the regime, based on its overly broad and unconstitutional, the powers wielded by, or the perceived powers wielded by, Mr. Potato Head. So my question to Dr. Richard Proctor is this. Should this even go to Mr. Potato Head says, this is what we're going to do, issues an edict to OSHA, unconstitutional as all get out. OSHA, of course, says, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to make you guys do. People object, take it to court. It goes to the Fifth Circuit Court, and they say, nope, you can't do that. Sorry, Joe. Nope. Joe and Ho, nope. Sorry. So then for a permanent resolution, adjudication, they take it to the Sixth. It's pending before the Sixth right now. And it's not looking good. So, Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, welcome to the program. And basically, I ask you, is any of this constitutional?
You want the long answer or the short answer?
Hey, you know what? You take it from here. It's up to you, brother.
The short answer is absolutely not.
There you go.
There's nothing legal. In fact, if you want the long answer, OSHA is unconstitutional. So why are we having an unconstitutional agency enforcing unconstitutional edicts from an unconstitutionally elected president? How does that all work out? And the reason I said unconstitutionally elected president, because the Electoral College did not operate in accordance with the Constitution. It hasn't for a long time, so that's an easy statement. Long time? 1776 was the last time the Electoral College operated within the Constitution. Every president that we've had since then has not been properly constitutionally elected. So it's an easy thing to say that wasn't done. So we have an unconstitutional president. We have an unconstitutional election, a thieving election, 2020. We have now mandates on authorities that the Constitution says you can't do because all legislative actions from the federal government go through the Congress. Next, none of these things can override state law. Every state can say, no, you will not. Therefore, the 10th Amendment says everything, the only things the government can do are those things that are listed in the Constitution, and everything else the state owns. Therefore, everything he's saying is unconstitutional, not listed in the Constitution. He has no authority whatsoever. That's the long answer. And I could go on still. I mean, folks, we are being taken to the cleaners by these international banking establishment, elite, insiders, whatever you want to call them, whatever the name is. There's 20 or 30 main guys controlling the world.
You know, Richard Proctor, and by the way, you can go anywhere you want. this hour, but I just want to ask you this. Why are they still sucking air? I mean, what happened to them? Because the theme of this hour, I like to say, is 1776. It's now. Now's the time.
Yes, it is.
You know, at this point, I question why we haven't fought back. And people might say, well, you're advocating violence. No, I'm questioning why we haven't fought back yet. I'm not advocating anything.
You don't have to go to violence to fight back. Why are we rioting, wrong word. Why aren't we gathering peacefully, as the First Amendment allows, in the streets saying, what's going on here? This guy doesn't have that authority. Why don't we do that? Because we've been conditioned by the schools to believe anything the federal government says is right. I've used this illustration before. We had a federal guy show up in the state of Utah offices, administrative offices, demanding some paperwork. And they said, no, you can't have that paperwork. Utah law says you can't have it. Our law, federal law, trumps Utah law. So they gave it to him. These people aren't even intelligent enough to know their own laws, their own stuff. Everybody thinks, because we've been lied to so long, that the federal government trumps state. No. That's like saying the baby is telling the parents what to do. That's what it is. Some of the babies do try to do that, and they get away with it, but not all of them. Our baby trying to get away with everything. Now, why do I say baby parent? Because the parents of the federal government are the state and the people. That's it. They are the parents. The kid is the federal government, and the kid doesn't tell the parents what to do. Now, I've seen places that happens. The kid tells the parents what to do, and those are usually dysfunctional families. But we're not a dysfunctional country. It is time, it is past time for us to start taking some action. We are reaping Supreme Court decisions of the 70s, of the 60s, when they began the path to take all of morality, religion, any righteousness out of the schools. And we're now to the point where school systems are being challenged by parents, so the FBI is arresting the parents, or at least attempting to. What's going on here? The FBI is an unconstitutional organization, by the way. It has no constitutional authority. Am I getting the point across?
Yes,
no,
sir.
Constitutional authority. None. Zip. And I've read that our FBI is the most corrupt force in the world. There's something to say in the world with all the corruption that's going on in these communist countries, these socialist countries, the worst in the world. Why, how can that be? Nonetheless, it's classed as worst in something. Now you see all these things. The FBI is going to prosecute you if you copy this movie, or if you do this, or FBI. They are a corrupt organization, as the deep state is corrupt. I'm sorry, guys, we're in Kempsey and we're allowing it. We, the people, are not doing a thing about it.
And I've got to say this, I'll admit to a crime. I think it's a federal crime. I did rip the mattress tag off my mattress.
Oh, so. No, you did?
Yeah.
So. Oh, no, it says you can't do that.
No, but you know what? Next to the torn off mattress tag are two copies, clearly, of Hunter Biden's laptop hard drive. So, you know, actually, I pinned that to the mattress tag to those. All right, sir, go ahead. And by the way, folks, provisinstitute.com, where the learned Richard Proctor has for sale books such as Saving the Constitution, which is a must have. Hey, Christmas is coming up, right? And if you exchange gifts, yes, there it is. Plus,
I offered a sale for Christmas time. Yeah. Good until December the 10th. Every Saving the Constitution, every Keep, every Constitution if you can keep it, every Bathroom Economics, every easily understood economics, one, you buy one, you get another for half price, all of them. So that's how you do your Christmas shopping for today's society.
Amen.
The Liberty series is already down to $100 on a sale for $100. That's going to continue till at least the 10th of December. Folks, I'm trying to help you know what's happening. Our Patreon meeting last night, Oh, I thought that was outstanding. I hope the people who were watching did. They said they did, but I hope they really did. We talked about the media and how the media is ensuring that we are properly controlled and will properly accept the mandates of the government. The media, oh yes, we're talking in volume one. I'm not going to go over what we did last night because I don't want to repeat what happened in the Patreon meeting. We're going to do next month, we're going to talk about the Federal Reserve. Folks, the Federal Reserve is a lying, cheating, stealing organization. They are stealing all of your wealth. Federal government's not stealing nearly as much as the Federal Reserve is stealing. And the Federal Reserve is doing it outright through the banking system. They're taking it. We're going to talk about that next month. Next month's meeting is going to be the Federal Reserve and its tentacles and how it works and what we can do to get rid of it. That's what we're going to talk about next week. I don't know how much we'll get done. It's only 2 hours long. But anyway, that's the plan. Folks, we have got to do something. I read an article here yesterday by Lex Green. If I'm remembering correctly, he said, there are two things the American people must do before we can fix anything. First, we've got to get the 2020 election corrected. That must be done. And if we don't do it, we can't do anything else. Next, we've got to stop all these illegal mandates of COVID stuff, these illegal injections. We must do it. It's got to be done. The media lies to us incessantly on these kinds of things, constantly. Look at the video clip you just get. What is the authority of the hospital to do those things to a person, period? They're not enforcement agencies. No, they're not. That's policy. Did you know it's only just policy? They know those masks don't work. They know those tests are false. They know, okay, the deaths that are going on. They know these things, yet they still do this. And the hospital system is the worst violator of our freedoms today. The worst violator of our liberties today is the hospital system. Oh, it's terrible. I don't pay any attention, you know, but only one time could I not get in. They didn't have bars on the door, but it was really close. I wasn't able to, but all the rest of them I've been able to get into. I'm not wearing one of those things, period. I don't say it. They say, you got to have a mask, and they hand me one, so I take it. If anybody says anything, I got a mask, don't worry, I've got one. Oh, yeah. Folks, you have got to take control. It's your right. It's your life you're losing. The hospital system is terrible. The post office doesn't even require anything anymore. I mean, the mandates are gone. Florida, let's use a Florida system. I just read this today, the Griffin report. Mm-hmm. In Florida, Palm Beach, I'm sure I got that right, Palm Beach School Board, even though Florida in July removed all mask mandates, has decided that they must have mandates in that school system. Well, a little girl, 8 years old, said, I'm not doing it. I've got a right, and 8 years old, second grader, I'm not doing it. I've got a right. They suspended her 40 times. Her response, you can suspend me all you want. I am not wearing one of those things. I've got a right. You can't tell us children to wear those things. And you know what happened?
Oh, I know what happened, but do tell.
The school board backed down. And as of Monday, if that's Monday, means 2 days from today, there's no more compulsory mask wearing in that district.
Yep.
An eight-year-old stood up and said, that ain't happening. But our parents aren't. The parents are happy as larks. They'll wear the mask. It's okay. It's all right. Yeah. Let's not wake them. Don't make any waves. Let's don't make any waves. Don't cause any problem. Just okay. Yeah, right. Young lady's parents didn't say that, but everybody else's is.
But yeah, and if I can just interject one thing, I think it's the duty of the parents. And some people will say, well, you're using your children as pawns, political pawns. But no, I think this is a life lesson for the child, and it's good parenting, okay, to do that. Because any blowback that we get, fine. Okay, we can take it, you and I. But I think, and correct me if you feel differently, but I think that that's a life lesson the parents taught that child. And, you know, perhaps using her as in this fashion, because I don't think an 8-year-old girl would think of that on her own. Maybe she did. I don't know. Maybe I'm not giving her enough credit.
Maybe she's being taught at home about rights of the Constitution.
There you go. That's it.
Maybe they have one of these books and they know what the rights are.
Yep.
And they're teaching their child that. I've sent a lot of books to Florida. I've sent a lot of books all over the United States. There are books in Congress, some of these copies. Some of these copies were given to Trump. I don't know if anybody paid attention, but they did go there. Okay, I've sent them to governors of order, and paid for them. Office of the Governor, different states. One of those states was South Dakota. And it's interesting to notice that South Dakota put the foot down. We're not going to do any of that stuff. Now, I don't know if this had any effect or not, but it was ordered and it went there. Folks, people are waking up when they know what their rights are. And I'm going to tell you again, I'm going to say it over and over and over. This book will help you know what your rights are, and you don't know them. That's right. You don't know them.
That's true.
Now, I'm going to read out of the Constitution for just a second, see if I can find this really quickly. Yeah, I think I can find it really quickly.
While you're looking, I just want to remind people, folks, go to provisinstitute.com, where Richard Proctor has been kind enough to really give us a nice special for the Christmas holidays, Saving the Constitution, Bathroom Economics, Liberty Series. Liberty Series down $100 out the door. You cannot beat that with a stick. That would be a wonderful Christmas present if you exchange Christmas presents or a birthday gift or whatever. It's invaluable, as well as Saving the Constitution, Bathroom Economics, and all of the books at provisinstitute.com. Link in the program description box at hagmanreport.com.
Okay, here we are. I'm ready.
All right.
I'm going to talk about the Seventh Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, and the Fifth Amendment, and tie them together, which nobody does. They read each of these amendments as separate. They're not separate. First, the Seventh Amendment is suits at common law, which says common law is our law. There's criminal law and common law. There's no admiralty law or maritime law. Those courts are unconstitutional. They are illegal courts, actually. Okay, they're illegal courts. But all the traffic courts are illegal courts. They don't have a trial. Due process, all right? Due process is very important. That's what a trial, that's what it's all about, due process. That's the Seventh Amendment. The Sixth Amendment says that you have a right to a speedy trial. This is for crimes, criminal activities. And you've got the things that you've got to be directed, you've got to be informed of this, you've got to be confronted with witnesses, you've got to have this, you've got to have this, you've got to have this. And now you get to the Fifth Amendment. At the end says, no one shall be compelled to be a witness against himself, we all know that, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Okay, now why am I bringing that up? Because we have several hundred guys in prison in Washington, D.C. that has never been proven anything against them. Due process of law. They've been denied liberty. They've been denied food. They've been denied medical care. They've been denied, I don't know if anybody's died yet. Some of them have lost their business because they're there stuck. That's where we are with our damn government. That's where we are. And we're allowing it. I don't find anybody making a big noise about those political prisoners in the United States of America that have been imprisoned without due process of law. That's the Fifth Amendment, a major, major deal. They stop cars and confiscate cars if they're going to say they're to do with drugs. No process of law, illegal confiscation, that's theft. But it's government. What government? Cities, localities, states, county. Governments are taking people's property without due process of law. They just say, we think that was done with drugs. I'm going to take it. And you walk home. Why aren't we standing up against these things? And you know, the next part of that, after they've decided it wasn't drug, you still can't get your car back. It's gone. And due process of law will say to the you've got to give him his car back. But they don't. Guys, we're in trouble because we are accepting without thinking whatever the government says. And that's what's going on. I just tied together three amendments. You can do other tied together, other things. You should always tie together these things. 10th Amendment ties with the 6th Article and shoots everything that's going on in Washington, D.C. down. Everything they're saying. Remember, the 10th Amendment is a little tough. I'm going to read it, point out to you here. Here we are, the 10th Amendment. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively and the people. Now, I know that's just words, and I know what it says, but it's not easily read. People don't really catch the drift. So I'm going to read it a different way. The 10th Amendment says, the federal government can do nothing that's not set up in the Constitution, and the state government can do everything else, unless the Constitution says it can't. Now, that's what it says. That's clear, isn't it? The federal government can do nothing not listed in the Constitution, period. The state government can do everything else unless the Constitution prohibits it. And that's what the 10th Amendment says. So since that's a part of the Constitution, we're going to couple that with Article 6, which says every senator, every representative of the United States government and the states, every executive, every judicial, all of these people, all of these officers of the state, federal governments, all of them, must take an oath, to be bound by an oath to support the Constitution. Since the Constitution says if the federal government can't do it, and if it's not in the Constitution, that gives the states the authority to say, if it's not in the Constitution, you can't do it. It's not going to be done in our state. You see how that works? Tie these things together. Tie them together. We've been, a lot of people are looking at organizations. Let's use the Rotary Club. I believe I'm correct. If I'm not correct, put another name in here. They used to be male only. Okay? And there are clubs that are. Let's just say there are clubs that are. Well, some of the women who pretend like they're men, some of the women who don't pretend they're men but want to be like men, say, you can't discriminate against us. We can belong to that. Here's the 9th Amendment. It says, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. What that says is, if it's not listed in the Constitution, you haven't lost it. That's what it says. What is the right of the club? What is their right? The right of exclusion. They have the right to decide who they're going to associate with. The right of exclusion. And they've been denied that right. Now women are, they've been forced to allow women into their organization. They've lost the whole tenor of their organization. Is that the only place that happens? No. It happens in the cities in zoning all the time. You have a right to paint your house whatever color you want. You have a right to plant a tree on your property wherever you want. You have a right to do every, as long as it doesn't obstruct anybody else. That's important. Remember that. You can do what you want on your private property. In comes the zoning. You can't rent your room out to somebody else. That's against the zoning law. You've lost your right. You had the right to rent that room. That's the 9th Amendment. But you say, okay, I can't do it because they said I could. Zoning law. The zoning laws are denying you your rights. Unlisted rights. Okay? But they're still your rights. That's the 9th Amendment. People understand how powerful the 9th Amendment is. I have a right to exclude you from my home, and I'm gonna. Trespassing is a right. I'm gonna exclude you from coming on my home. The only way you can come, go back to the 5th Amendment. The only way you can come back, can do that, is with a proper warrant, oath, with an oath. And that's the only way they can exclude. I'm having trouble with my nose. It itches all the time nowadays. Anyway, guys, so that's what I'm trying to say. Correlate your Constitution. Don't just say, oh, well, I've read it. Done. Oh, it's all done. And in this book, I really don't go into all of the, this is only 300 pages. You can't do everything in 300 pages. This tells you what your rights are and what all this stuff means. Now, you've got to think a little bit like honest, regular people. You know, the kind of folk that everybody wants to be, a regular person with some intelligence in the noggin. You got to think a little bit. You've got to analyze. I'm going to give, this is not anything to do with the Constitution. This is just thinking, okay? Nothing more than that. I am doing an addition to my home. One of the things I have to have in the addition is air conditioning and heating, but there's no plumbing in the addition. Therefore, there are no drains. Uh-oh, I have to have a drain for the heating because condensation comes off the air conditioning and heating, and it goes down into the drain system. And that must be, must be in a regular drain. Well, I don't have a regular drain anywhere near that in my home. So I said to the people, ask questions, because I always ask questions before I make any decisions. I asked the question of the plumbers, can I put a drill hole and put it in my French drain? I have a French drain all around the house. Nice thing. And it goes right by this place I put in the air conditioner. So I'll put a drain up, put a tube right into the French drain. Now, this is what one of the people told me. And everybody says he's 100%, so you got to do what he says. Those air conditioner systems can give off a quart an hour. You have got to have that to a regular drain, and you can't put it in your French drain because the rocks will dissolve. Now, I thought to myself, rocks dissolve from a little water? A quart an hour? I haven't done a quart. I've been here 3 years, and a quart hasn't passed through yet.
Wrong kind of rock.
Yeah, the wrong kind of rock. Exactly. Yeah. I've watched creeks that have been going for thousands of years, and their rocks are smooth, but they're not gone. Come on, folks. Have a little thinking. This guy's off his rocker. I don't care who says what. He's not correct. But I had to analyze that first. So I talked to another plumber. He says, yeah, there's a little acid. Won't matter. And he's doing the job for him. You got the picture here? Do some thinking. Put your noggin back on again. Even though, let me see, they stopped teaching thinking probably in 1990. So everybody that's been through the school system since 1990, maybe we could even go into the 80s, that's 30 years. Everyone that's gone through the school system has been taught not to think. And that means in the universities too, you're taught not to think.
I don't want to overtalk you, but you know, the intro here, why do people think, or why it's obvious to me, the battleground on a local level that's really getting white hot is at the school district level. And we're seeing these dossiers being drawn up against the parents who are objecting to have their children taught critical race theory, which is a Marxist Maoist doctrine. They're mask mandates, irrational, arbitrary. They're fighting against that. So the FBI comes in and says, hey, these are domestic terrorists. Now the whistleblower came out with the email that ties all this together and says the threat is larger, it's more widespread, as I've been saying all along. So the battleground is, in my view, for the minds of the children, and they're doubling down now as more people are becoming awake. So go ahead, sir. You're absolutely right. Go ahead.
But I'm gonna suggest another piece of this. It's not just elementary school kids. It's not just high school kids. It's in the colleges too. The universities. No person leaves a university today, I can say this without question, understanding what Adam Smith's economic systems are. Not were, are. He wrote it in 1776. No person leaving a university today understands economics at all. None.
Agreed.
You see, there's a basic concept being taught. It was taught by, it was developed by a Fabian socialist in England. His name is John Maynard Keynes. And he decided, and he built models to show it, that deficit spending will save your country. You can get all the growth you need if you just have deficit spending. Now, that's garbage. That is absolute garbage. What that says, if you really apply it, if you have millions of dollars of debt to your home, in your household, that your household would be better off. doesn't it? If the government can get in billions and trillions of dollars debt, the government is better off because they did that. That's Keynesian. That's what they teach. Inflation, they teach that wet streets cause rain. That's what they teach. Wet streets cause rain. Yep, that's what they teach. And that's what's going on in the economics everywhere in this country and maybe beyond, but I can't speak for the other world, the other countries. That's what's going on, folks. You've got to step back. These people aren't thinking. Here's one that every one of them should have identified. Every one of these people. I'm saying get back to thinking. Know what's happening. You can't do anything. I know. We can show this all day long. But if you're not going to think, your freedom's lost. Your liberties are lost. So let's just think about it. Here's another item. This is taught in economics classes. A kid was playing baseball, and he hit the ball, and it went through the window, the local merchant. Now, that means that the merchant has to get new glass to put in there, which means that everything to do with producing glass, all the way down to mining the sand, is all getting more work because of the broken glass. And look at how much production that will put on the economy. Look, all these things will happen. So we'll have more production. We'll have a better country just because that glass was broken. Come on, folks. That didn't even pass the smell test. It's what I've decided is the law of stupid. Okay? That's what I've decided it is. The law of stupid. Now, what do I mean is the law of stupid? Well, that analysis would say, Let's destroy the entire town of Erie, Pennsylvania. I'm picking on you, Doug. Every home, every business is going to be dropped off the face of the earth, every one of them. So all these dollars will be spent rebuilding it. Look how good that would be. Let's destroy the whole country. Then all the dollars that would be spent building it will be well spent, will win, will be better. If you didn't have to spend the window, the water, if you didn't have to spend the money on the broken glass, where would you have spent it? Would you have thrown it out the front door? You'd have spent it on something else. Would that still have increased all of the production? Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? So therefore, what you've done is you've destroyed these economists are learning it, they're teaching it. You're destroying what the money would have done if you didn't have to replace the window. If you didn't have to replace the home, if you didn't have to replace the city. And that's the law of stupid. If you really think it's better to rebuild something that already exists, because that's production, and you're not thinking about taking the money that would have used to rebuild it and get something else which would provide production also, but you'd still have your buildings, you'd have the additional production plus your buildings. But no, these guys are teaching that the additional isn't there. It doesn't exist. Well, the accountants know about that kind of thing. They call it opportunity costs. Opportunity costs. We don't know what the opportunity costs ever are because we don't know where the money would have been spent. But I sure know where the money would have been spent for the glass. But I don't know what he would have bought with it. But I do know that he wouldn't burn it. The glass wasn't broken. I better burn this money. Not going to say that. That's stupid. The law of stupid again. I think the law of stupid sounds really good.
All right, I'd go with that, yeah.
Maybe. We have a lot of that going on in our country.
We do.
Now, let's get back to the Constitution. Let's get back to 1776. That's crucial. This document right here, this document, these are two go side by side. They go right together. This document right here, this one, was written because of 1776. 1775. It was written because of the war of the Revolutionary War. It was written because we needed to establish a new country with honest, true principles. The people are in charge. The states are in charge. They're going to decide what the honest, true principles are. This is the key right here. That's the foundation. That's what 1776 and the colonial era brought about, this document. Some will say, well, it's in 1776, therefore it's all out of date. What do you mean it's out of date? Did people steal things in 1776? Oh, yes. Do they still steal things today? Yes. If this document helps people not steal from you, i.e. your rights, is that good? Yes. Is it out of date? No. Why is it out of date? Well, because we have cars and they didn't. That's got nothing to do with human nature. This document is written about human nature. Just like the Ten Commandments. Are they out of date? Is it okay to murder now because they're out of date? No, that's human nature. Ten Commandments are human nature. This document is human nature. But it's written in a way sometimes a little difficult to understand. If I read here in Article 1, Section 2, I see on the second paragraph, no person shall be a representative who shall not have attained the age of 25 years. So that means it's a reverse there. They know that that means he's got to be 25 years or older. And have been a citizen of the United States for 7 years. Been 7 years a citizen of the United States. Again, they know that means a citizen or more of the United States for 7 years. I mean, 7 years or more a citizen of the United States. We know what that says. The next sentence says, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of the state in which he shall be chosen. I'll read that more slowly. And who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which he shall be chosen. Now, what does that say in today's thought? He's not supposed to be in the state that elected him. That's what it says. That's how we read it today. Shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of the state. Shall not be an inhabitant of the state. That's what it says. Because we don't understand how the double negative is playing with the very first word in that paragraph, which says no. And no and shall not reverse to positive. But we don't understand that. That's it in the Senate, too, when you get over in Article 2, Article 1, Section 3, Paragraph 3 says, no person shall be a senator who shall not have attained the age of 30 years, et cetera, and when elected, be an inhabitant of that state for which he shall be chosen. It's the same wording, precisely, just different numbers. And everybody thinks, if they don't understand how it was written or what the intent was, they can say, well, a senator is not supposed to be a member of the state of Illinois. He lives there. He can't be it because it says he shall not be an inhabitant of Illinois. Therefore, he can't be a senator or representative from Illinois. That's not what it says. That's what it says when we don't understand colonial writing. And we don't understand it. I mean, here's another item. We've got to understand these things. 1776, back again. I'm back to the Sixth Amendment again. I was there a few minutes ago. The very last sentence of the Sixth Amendment says, he will have the assistance of counsel for his defense. The assistance of counsel. What does that sentence mean? It means an attorney, right? Well, just a minute. Did they have attorneys in 1776? Did they have attorneys in England way before 1776? Yes, they did. Those attorneys wore wigs and they went to court and they did everything, but they were attorneys. So the term attorney, an attorney for your safety, is current in 1776. It existed, but it doesn't say an attorney. It says an assistance of counsel. What's an assistance of counsel? That's a person who is involved with you that's not an attorney that goes to help you in the court case. Now, why is that important? You remember we talked about the 13th Amendment in the past, the one that was thrown under the bus by a resolution in 1865? That resolution said attorneys are not citizens of the United States. That's what it says. No attorney can be a citizen of the United States. So obviously they didn't mean assistants of counsel to be attorneys because they didn't believe in titles of nobility, and that means the bar, your honor, all of that stuff, Esquire, all of those are titles of nobility. They knew about that. So they didn't put attorney there because attorneys are the title of nobility. So it didn't say attorneys because of that reason. But if you don't know those things, you don't understand. That says counsel. It doesn't say attorney, and that's on purpose. Now, when you do that, you have to make sure that you're on solid ground. You have to make sure that the guy who's helping you understands what attorneys do and how they talk and what they say and what the words mean. You must know that that person knows that. I don't know that. I could never help anybody in a court trial. Never. Because all I know is what this book says. I know that he's allowed. I know I'm allowed to help a person. But if I don't know how, he's not going to get the proper help. So I got to know that. That doesn't mean I have to have an attorney. That just means I have to have somebody who knows attorney stuff. I bet you there are some attorneys that people know that can't pass the bar because they can't get over that garbage. Since they can't pass the bar, they're not an attorney, but they know all the attorney stuff. Go get one of them. They can help you because they know all that stuff. But they didn't get past the bar. Who cares? That's a British committee rule regulation. British, not United States. British, prior to 1776. British, not the United States of America. But when a guy goes to court and he puts that up, they say, well, yeah, that means an attorney, because nobody today knows what the heck the background was. And they don't even understand the 13th Amendment, because it isn't in anybody's constitution today. It was before 1865. It was officially a part of the documents. After 1865, no more a part of the Constitution. It still is, because it wasn't unratified. It wasn't canceled. It wasn't. What did they do? Nullify this. Remember the 18th Amendment said you can't have liquor. Then immediately when they disagreed, that didn't work. The 19th Amendment, or the 21st, I think it is, said you can have liquor. We're gonna delete that. So that was an in and out. That's done. That has been done. Okay. It's okay. But the 13th hasn't been removed. It's still there, just not in your books because of a resolution. Since 1865, can Congress do a resolution and remove an amendment?
Can they?
Nope, they cannot.
No.
And President Lincoln, I'm disappointed, President Lincoln signed that resolution and he was assassinated just a few days later. Now, I know that wasn't a cause of relationship there. I just pointed out that he was assassinated. Please, he didn't get assassinated because he signed that resolution. Sorry, don't say that. But he did sign it. That's a disappointment for me. But nonetheless, I don't care if the president signed it. I don't care if 100% of the legislature all agreed. I don't care if every president in the country we've ever had agrees. It still doesn't take away the 13th Amendment. The only way you can take away the 13th Amendment is through the normal route of making an amendment. It has to get two-thirds, has to get all the approvals, has to do everything. And then you can take it out. And it has to be done with another amendment. There isn't one. They don't dare bring it up. Because if the people knew what that said, the people who were bringing it up would lose their jobs. They would lose a lot of credibility. They would lose lots of stuff. So they ain't going to bring it up. This is very quiet. Why don't we know about it? Because no one will ever teach you about it. It is just recently found out about 10 years ago. This is the first they ever knew it. It was by accident that it was discovered. But now it's common knowledge. Well, it's not common knowledge among the population. They don't know what I'm talking about. It's common knowledge among the people that I talk to, because I tell everybody about it. And there are others that are doing the same thing. So what I'm trying to say, guys, in my own little way is, If you don't know this book, you're in real trouble. And you can't know this book by saying, oh, I've read it, I'm done, I know it. Can't.
You know, we've got about 10 minutes left, and you point to the Constitution here, Richard.
Yes.
A lot of people will say, well, we're living in a post-constitutional republic, but really we're not. The Constitution is being bastardized by the people in power, but we still have a Constitution.
Yes, we do. And it's the same one we've always had, guys. Yes, we have a Constitution. It's the same one we've always had. Because why? Because nothing has replaced it. That's what's all to do with this convention of states they're all talking about. Let's have a convention of states to do an amendment. It says we can do that in Article 5, and it does say that. Have we ever done it? No. Are we going to do it? If we do, we've lost the Constitution. Because the goal of the Constitution of States is to take this document and throw it away. Because that document is too hard for the government to live by. We're going to throw it away. And we're going to put the people and the states under our thumbs. And we're going to decide what their rights are, maybe. Perhaps you're going to have this or perhaps that. Man. They're not God-given anymore. Now they'll be stolen from us.
Well, you know, folks, again, this would be a good time to mention that Dr. Proctor's books, including Saving the Constitution, hey, buy one, get a second one for half price. It's a steal, really. It's a great deal on the books, as well as the Liberty series for $100 out the door. I'm telling you what, that alone would make a great Christmas gift, birthday gift, any day gift to anyone, or just for your own self for the knowledge it contains. So, folks, please visit ProvisInstitute.com. Also, make sure you support Dr. Proctor by becoming a Patreon member. There it is right there on your screen. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. And also, the Patreon meetings are fabulous, by the way, folks. So, Richard Proctor does an absolutely astounding job for the Patreon members, and I really highly encourage that. So, the support there as well. So in the 7 minutes we have left, go ahead. It's up to you.
Let me mention something about the Patreon meeting before you finish.
Sure. No.
Last night, our Patreon meeting was about the media. Okay. The month before, our Patreon meeting was about secret combinations. The month before, it was about secret combinations. That kind of stuff, conspiracies. And before that, we did the introduction, and we went through introduction to the book. And the introduction talks about rights and things of that sort. That was all this book. We're going through these books one section at a time. And I'm talking about things that are beyond the ability to write it all in the book. Last night, I spent 2 hours discussing how the media is destroying us. I don't talk about those things here on Hagman Show because I want the people to have a special deal on the Patreon meetings.
It should be, yes.
So that says to you that nothing that I talk about in the Patreon meeting will be repeated or has been repeated on these shows. It's all different. That's why today I didn't say something about the media because I said it last night, so I'm not going to say it here today. Just the thing that the media is stealing or deceiving us. That's fair. Everybody knows that.
You know, the more I see with the media, the more I really, really believe they are really the enemy of the people. And, you know, I have to say this too. You got Fox News in there. Some people, you know, oh, let's go to Fox News. But they're a limb of the same tree. And that tree is poisoning our lives with lies. And it's really an arm of the deep state, if you will, in my view, anyway. But
now, Doug, today's discussion, you started it to do with 1776.
Yes, I did.
This book is a part of, an integral part of, 1776. The Declaration of Independence is an integral part of 1776, because that's the day it was read. Okay, I'm going to read you something out of the Declaration of Independence, 1776. Any form of government becomes destructive to these ends. These ends means your inalienable rights from God. Any form of government becomes destructive of these ends. It is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute a new government. That's the Declaration of Independence precise wording. We're there, 1776. That's the wording of 1776, exactly. Is the government denying us our God-given rights? Okay, yes. Yes, he is. Yes, they are. Every day, another one is violated. Is the government interfering with business operations and denying businessmen their opportunity to do a proper job? Is the government interfering in science to make sure everybody hears what they want to hear? How do they do it in science? They limit who gets the grants. If you don't say what the government wants, you don't get a grant. You don't get a grant, you can't do your project. Therefore, you say what the government wants so you can get a grant. Is that free? Is that violating their rights? They're using money to do it, but it's still violating their rights. If they want to give the grant to a citizen, they should do it, period, regardless of what he's teaching. That's the way the government should operate. They should be operating with the fact people need better stuff. Let's use pure research to have, let them have it. So let's give grants to people who do pure research, period. Now that's what the government should do. But if they don't do it that way, then it's up to the people to alter or abolish that government. Now that's what the Declaration of Independence says. And today's meeting is about 1776. And this book, that's upside down. We don't want to put it upside down. This book is an explanation of what this book is an explanation of what this says, and this says what the Declaration of Independence wanted it to say. You see the correlation? See how that all works together?
I love it. You know, you really did a, folks, I've got to tell you, Richard Proctor has done a great job with his books, with his information. And, you know, information is only as good as people who will accept it and act upon it. And that's what we have to do. I came out 1776. It's time now. And I'm going to leave you with that. We're going to leave you with that. It's time now. It's time to say no more. And I think you'd agree with me on that.
Absolutely. I agree. It's time. We've got to stop it. I do not mean get a gun out and shoot somebody. I mean we've got to stop it.
Yeah. And you have. I would add this in closing. You've got some remedies in your book, Saving the Constitution, how we can do just that.
Yes.
Through the legal process and through a constitutional process. And I think that it's worth a try before we, you know, enter into that. You know, once this goes kinetic, I've got to tell you, there's no turning back. And that's what I really feel in this at this time. You
know, and let me add one more thing here.
Sure.
Next week, we're going to talk about the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is taking your money from your pocket and giving it to the Rothschilds every day. I know how to stop that. We're going to talk about those things next month on the third Tuesday. I know how the people can get their money, keep their money back, and the state can have that money, profits. The state can have it, and the state can therefore do all the business they need without taxing you at all.
Well worth the price of admission. And folks, please support Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Again, the link will be in the program description box. And make sure, as you're filling out your Christmas list of who's naughty and who's nice, the nice people get the Saving the Constitution, Liberty series, and all of the books at ProvisInstitute.com. Richard Proctor, I want to say thank you so very much for today. And appreciate your flexibility as these abbreviated programs for cause. But and again, I'll tell people later about that. But thank you so very much. God bless you.
Appreciate it. See you next week.
All right, we'll do sir. It again. All right, folks. God bless you. Have a great night. Doug Hagman, out of here.